In this week's video with our guest, Stephanie Link, we're gonna follow up from last week and what's been and look forward to what might lie ahead in 2026. So a week for everybody who might be watching, a few minutes for you and I. It's kind of how the years felt. A blur, but a blur of a ton of activity. As we look forward in 2026, we've got the Fed, if I can hazard some guesses, a new Fed chair. We've got maybe knock-on effects from the war, midterms, the AI story. What are you really looking at? And you can tell me I'm all wrong. As the big drivers as we move forward into the back half of 26?
So first and foremost, the market always climbs a wall of worry. Mm-hmm. I worry when I don't worry, because that means you're complacent. But there's always something to really be, worry you, and it could be concerning. But I think at the end of the day, if this war, and this is a big if, if this war is fairly short-lived, meaning a couple of months versus a couple of quarters, I think we can return to the momentum that we had pre-war. Right. And as I mentioned, we were growing 5% GDP, and that's pre-war, and that didn't even include the one big beautiful bill. Whether you think it's beautiful or not, that's not the point. The point is
really
that it's a lot of stimulus. It's at like 80 basis points to 100 basis points additive to growth. And that's now starting, we're starting to see that too. So actually, the timing of the one big beautiful bill is actually pretty good, because I think consumers are buffered, because higher oil prices are being offset by some of the tax receipts that we're seeing. I think if it's a short war, we can return to the momentum, we can return to earnings and return to fundamentals. If it's a longer war, that's going to be a bit more trying. Right. And I think that's what the market's trying to suss out right now, is it going to be longer? Are we going to have higher energy prices, higher gasoline prices, a little more inflation? I mean, we did get some inflation numbers this week, and it was, 3.5%, not going in the right direction.
Right.
Not terrible,
right,
but not going in the right direction. And I think
growth
people are trying to figure it out.
Killed for in the 2010,
right?
When we were supposedly in a new normal.
That's so
true.
I
saw King Griffin, the headline that he's, anything longer than 6 months is almost, almost a guaranteed recession.
Well, I would say one thing though, Tim, and that is that, believe it or not, households can handle higher energy prices because it's only about 3% of their budget. Gasoline. Now, that's just gasoline. I mean, if we have all these other parts of inflation kind of doing a little bit worse, that's not going to help. But at the same time, you also have a big piece of inflation is rents. And rents actually last quarter fell.
Right.
4%.
Offset things a bit.
So I think there's just so many moving parts right now. I think you just go back to finding, good quality companies, good themes where you have confidence in, and maybe we don't grow, maybe the market doesn't grow 18% this year, but I'd be happy with 10, 7 to 10.
I take anything that's black.
This is true.
Speaking of changes in moving parts, we're gonna have some seats shuffling at the Fed, one in particular with Warsh taken over. What, if anything, should make of this? I know Barclays, well as Tom Lee, I think using their chart, talked about 10 of the last 13 Fed chairs came with a correction. What's your take on, and he's talking about kind of some pretty big paradigm shifts in terms of how he'd like to run things, and
he's
stopping all the messaging, which quite frankly, maybe I'm in his camp on, it's gotten a little out of hand to have Fed governors daily, even non-voting members pontificating, but what's your take?
100%. I mean, I hope that that's what he does. I hope he restricts them. It's just incredibly confusing. Mm-hmm. It's confusing for us, and we're in the business.
Right.
Can you imagine people that are not in the business? I think his biggest job is going to have to corral the 12 voting members. That's going to be really hard to get a consensus.
Who may or may not have put some shots across his bow with their dissents yesterday.
But I know. And then, but I would say this, he is brilliant. And he was on the Fed in 2008, the great financial crisis. And Gary Cohn, who was the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, he worked very closely with Warsh back in 2008. And it was, he has said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he has said that we probably couldn't have gotten through it without someone like him involved. So he's, you know, very smart. We'll have to see. I don't think the market's pricing anything in right now in terms of Fed cuts, not until I heard like the fourth quarter of 2027. Oh my goodness! I mean, anything can happen in between now and 2027. So I'm not, you know, putting my eggs in that basket. But so far, we haven't really needed cuts. We've still been able to grow above trend with a pretty restrictive interest rate policy. So, and that's again speaks back to with this big this tailwind of AI and the technology revolution.
Let's do that. Let's talk about valuations, earnings, market leadership, tech versus the broadening. From a purely market perspective, what are you looking at there and what should people be aware of?
I think it's always fun when the market's broader. I mean, it's not.
Is it?
Yeah, for me it is because I'm not just all focused in on Mag 7. Right. I own a few. I own a lot of semiconductor companies that actually are benefiting from Mag 7. I own a lot of industrials that are benefiting from Mag 7 and the spend. But I like to see financials starting to catch a bid. That's pretty healthy. I loved the commentary from the banks when they reported earnings. The big six banks, they said three things. All of them said it. That the consumer was resilient, that credit quality was good, actually delinquencies and non-performing loans.
Again, I think really coming out, I mean, for some time now, you've seen this data point, people grab a certain debt data point, but household debt as a percentage of income has stayed really low. I mean, again, nowhere near what we saw in that build up to 08.
Right. So. And then they also said that they were lending more, which is what we want them to do because that's going to help the growth of the economy. So that was really important. So I like that. And they were acting terrible. The sector was acting terrible. I like the fact that in the last couple of weeks, we've seen financials do better. I mentioned in the industrial several times, but the transports also have done well. That's usually a leading indicator of growth, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you think the rails, you know, you believe in all this building that's going to happen in data centers and that sort. You need rails, you need trucks, you need materials. And so the things that are working, the sectors that are working, are very consistent with the overall arching theme. And so I'm waiting for discretionary to pick up, but I am encouraged that the
good retail sales today.
We did, right? And they're consuming, and we got personal consumption numbers as well. It's good. It's just the retail stocks and the discretionary stocks have kind of been stuck a little bit. But I'd like to see them do better. But I do like to see a whole bunch of sectors do quite well.
As we wrap up, got to talk about AI, which I know could be its own video series for weeks. But yeah, I think everyone thinks tech's overdone. It's been surprising when we've walked clients through. You know, we were kind of ringing the alarm bell at the end of 24 when we were in the 40 to 50 range on PE. But you know, now the Mag 7 is closer to 20 times.
Yes.
In part because of robust earnings. What are people misunderstanding about AI and the tech? And again, it's been a popular story for a long time.
Tech has been a popular story. It should have been a popular story. It will continue to be a popular story because that's where the growth is. And that's where the free cash flow is. These companies are investing, Mag 7 and other technology companies are investing so that they have even more free cash flow in the future. So right now, this year, you're seeing a lot of declines in free cash flow because these companies are using it all for this investment. But I would encourage you, this is not a recommendation on a stock. This is just encourage you to read the CEO of Amazon. He actually put out a shareholder letter 2 weeks ago and just went through kind of what they're thinking in terms of the AI build out and why they're spending so much and what kind of returns that they think that they're going to see over the next decade, two decades.
Right.
It's a really interesting read. I learned a lot. But the point is, it's not just the tech companies that are spending. We're going to spend $7 trillion on data centers.
It's getting weird. They don't stick that well in my mind.
I mean, it's enormous. $7 trillion.
It's like the scene in Austin Powers where you're like talking about the million. And you're like, no, trillion.
Trillion. It's trillion.
And we're talking quadrillion. It's getting spooky.
It is. And then you're going to see 1.1 to 1.5 trillion on grid and also on power. And by the way, we just don't have enough power. I would recommend on CNBC.com, you can go on and type in the former CEO of Southern Company. His name is Tom Fanning. And when he ran Southern Company, it was very well done. I mean, they built the last nuclear plant facility. So he knows a thing or two about all kinds of power. And his thought was, was. And this was back in November of last year when people thought AI was a bubble. Right. And so he was interviewed, not by me, but I was just listening to him. And he said, AI is not a bubble for a variety of reasons, but the biggest concern he has is we don't have enough people. We do not have enough sophisticated electricians, welders, or pipe fitters. I didn't even know what a pipe fitter was. So I had to go and Google that.
I think I do, but I bet I'm wrong.
We don't have enough of them. And so that was his thing. Like, that is going to be a big bottleneck. And getting the supply chains in addition, so the products in addition to the people, he thinks the cycle is that much more elongated. And I just thought it was another interesting, you know, informational article.
No, and I was back in New York at your investment summit. It was interesting to hear from that tech panel in particular how, the popular narrative that it's going to be super destructive and displace and it's all kind of fake. And no, there seems to be more than a little bit of merit to it, and already seeing some good things from it. Well, thank you for being here, as always, and sharing your thoughts.
Always fun.
Thank you for watching. We'll do everything we can to get her back next year.
10 Capital is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. 10 Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties, express or implied, as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. 10 Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.